Here I am off on this tangent for Jean, who turned 105 years old today, a WGN radio listener. Not Sister Jean, by the way. This is a different 105-year-old. Or Sister Jean 104. I forget what number Sister Jean is, but I think it might be 105. Two Jeans reaching 105. And I'm just like listing off, oh, here's how the White Sox did that day. And I read their record. I'm like, oh, they're pretty good. Yeah, it was the 1919 White Sox. The Black Sox, as they were so called. They went to the World Series and they threw it. Oh, man, I didn't connect those dots very fast. Someone who always connects all the dots for us. What a terrible transition that was. Brian the Cash Man from AmeriCash joining me because I have a question about something. Hey, Brian, good to talk to you, bud.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Good. AmeriCash is over in Westmont. It's on Ogden Avenue, just west of Cass, 16 West Ogden. I'll give the phone number in a little bit. Before I pivot to the bobbleheads, Brian, do you ever get anything from related to the 1919 White Sox that threw the World Series?
You know, I'm trying to think of the last piece that we had in. I think nothing. I mean, we've had Joe Jackson card come through, which, of course, he was adamantly against that. He had nothing to do with the 1919 throwing of the World Series, and his record shows it. I mean, he tried his hardest. He scored. He played his heart out. So.
That's
you know,
okay.
The only other thing I can think of that I've had come in actually would probably relate to the Cubs, you know, first and second winning of their World Series.
1907, 1908, what do you have from that?
Yeah, we had a Mordecai Brown card.
Ah, a three-finger Brown.
Yeah, yep.
They had baseball cards back then?
Oh, sure. Oh. I want to say 1885 is the first known sports card-related item. I believe it was more like a postcard than what we would consider a modern, you know, trading card today. But, yeah, I mean, cards go way back.
Did kids always put them in their tires on their bike? Oh, yeah, tobacco cards. Did they always make it into the spokes of the wheel or no?
Maybe. You know, you had early forerunners, you know, like Honus Wagner, who was very much against cigarette smoking and demanded this card being pulled,
wow,
which then hence caused this card to become one of the most valuable cards in the world.
I didn't know that's the story behind why that card was so valuable. Okay. Boy, we could talk for, well, the rest of the show, but we have other things to do. So I just want to get to the question at hand. And just to tee this up again, Dave Ennett, our sports guy, and I were chatting early in the show. We were talking about bobbleheads because NIU, Notre Dame, they're coming out with a commemorative bobblehead to honor the huge upset against the Fighting Irish last weekend. And Dave mentioned that he used to would take quarters and buy, like he'd get Coke bottle tops, turn them in, and get bobbleheads in return that were mailed to him. And I made a joke like bobbleheads back then. I thought they were a more modern thing. Apparently bobbleheads go back a long way, huh?
Oh, yeah, they do. They go back actually to the 20s and 30s when, you know, they were produced in Germany. A lot of times in that case, they were like animals or, you know, other figural stuff like that. You know, like the dog with the head, bobbing up and down, et cetera. Then, of course, you know, you get into the 50s and 60s. In 1960, Major League Baseball, of course, produced the paper mache bobbleheads, one for every team. You know, had one distinct face, and they use the same face for all of them. Then, of course, you know, not only sports, but they made bobbleheads for, like, the Beatles and many other, different people from that time period. I think JFK and Jacqueline Kennedy both had bobbleheads made of them.
Oh, geez.
And then they eventually did make like a individual or player specific. They did a Roberto Clemente, a Mickey Mantle, a Roger Maris, and a Willie Mays, but they all still had the same face on it. So they didn't change the design, you know, or the look of the face. I imagine they probably just had a basic mold, and
yeah,
it was just more economic to produce it in that way.
Those worth anything these days?
Yeah, absolutely. They can, you know, most are in, you know, we'll say under 100 for some stuff. And then, of course, you know, you start getting into the older ones, they're in the hundreds. And then if you have something that's a very, very exceptional condition, very nice grades, et cetera, it could be in the low thousands for some of the pieces as well.
But that's for the old ones. I mean, like someone that has like a Harry Carey bobblehead, bring that in. That ain't gonna be worth all that much if it's a newer one,
no,
right?
No, not a fortune or anything like that. And you know, there were some specialty ones that were made. They made them as big as 3 feet tall.
What? That's a robot. That's not a model one.
Yeah.
Really? No, 3 feet tall?
Yeah, they did. 3 feet tall. There was a the one that this strikes me really fast is they made the LeBron James rookie one. They only made 23 of them, and they're 3 feet tall. And I want to say those go like $4,000 to $8,000 for one of those.
Wow,
pretty valuable.
Some people have been texting in that the they have an Empire Carpet Man bobblehead.
Sure. Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah. Yes, we have. Well, obviously. We're in Chicago. How can you not?
You've seen everything.
Oh, yeah. They also did a lot of cartoon characters. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the National Bobblehead Museum is just over in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Kevin was telling me about that.
Yeah.
Collector's items. Okay. That's the bobblehead story. Terry Savage on the Winter's Business Lunch brought up the price of gold. I also thought of you then. Boy, up to new highs, huh? This is a big time for people to bring the gold to you, right?
Absolutely. In fact, we've been slammed all day, and literally everybody's like, you know what? This is my sign. I got to bring it in. Gold's jeweled just crazy, and they are bringing it in like crazy, that's for sure.
A lot of WGN listeners, I am sure.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
We have to get Iridian back in with the rest of all her ex-boyfriend jewelry.
Yes. As I often say on Your Money Matters, Iridian's ex-boyfriend, she's got like 6 or 7 gold broken necklaces from ex-boyfriend. I'm joking, Pete. He's looking at me like...
It's a joke.
It's a joke. Yeah. The producer, Pete, is looking at me like, what? No. That's just my in to tell people that if you have a gold necklace from an ex, don't wear it and bring back terrible memories. Get back at him by taking it to Americash Gold and Coin. You guys are located at 16 West Ogden Avenue in Westmont. Let's give the number because people can call you or they can actually text you either a question about gold or whatever it may be, but coins, they can send you pictures of their stuff. And the number is 630-969-9600, 630-969-9600. Can they call and like text you now if they have a question?
Yes, they can.
All right, let's give that number one more time, 630-969-9600. You hear Brian a lot if you're just hearing him for the first time. He comes on Your Money Matters fairly often, and we chat through all these things. We take your calls and answer how much things are worth. It's a great segment, one of my favorites. Brian, I appreciate you coming on a different time here on WGN.
No problem whatsoever. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. 630-969-9600 to reach out to Brian the Cashman. Take care, Brian, okay?
All righty, John. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.